You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
If you're the type of baseball fan that can't help but get giddy over prospects, we have the podcast for you. Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, is the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. Follow Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, for only the 10th time in Major League history, we saw a game in which both teams scored at least two runs, and every run of the game was scored on a solo homer. I was surprised it was only 10, but that's what happened in the Dodger game tonight.
Definitely surprising that it's only 10, but the best part about it, Dodgers won. That's all that really matters.
Yep, the Dodgers got three of the solo homers. The Giants only got two, and that was the difference of the game. There was a lot to talk about in this game. This may be one of those episodes that feels like maybe a little less rhyme or reason. It's not necessarily a recap episode of the game, but by the time we're done, we will have talked about pretty much everything that happened in the game, because there was a lot of interesting stuff, a lot of stuff that inspires discussion, and that's what we're here for, is to discuss the Dodgers. So that's the plan for today, but first we want to remind you, please follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Vince, I think maybe we'll just go through the game in order a little bit, you know, maybe not exact order, but the Dodgers got off, obviously, the top of the first after the Dodgers had, I think, five straight games in which they allowed at least one home run in the first inning. They're now on a streak of not doing that. I think this is three in a row now. Bauer shut the Giants down in the top of the first, and then Mookie Betts and Max Muncy got things started in a big way with back-to-back homers to start the bottom of the first, which was really fun to see.
Yeah, great to see. Obviously, Mookie, you know, always great to see him start the game off like that. But then Max Muncy just continues his dominance of the San Francisco Giants, and you know, might have to file for part ownership at this point, just the way he handles them. And then tomorrow or tonight's game will be his get out of the ocean bobblehead, so hopefully he can hit another one. There's no oceans close enough for him to hit it to, but the one he hit last night was on his way to some ocean, because that ball was blasted.
Yeah, and if we want to be sticklers like some Giants fans are, I think LA is as close to the actual ocean as San Francisco is, maybe even closer. I think you'd have to hit it the wrong direction. I think it would be way foul to get to the Pacific Ocean. So yeah, the Atlantic Ocean is a few thousand miles away, and that's the one that's in fair territory, so probably not going to happen. But yeah, Max continuing to own the Giants is definitely a good thing. And, you know, it's one thing for, like, you know, when Gleyber Torres one year hit 13 home runs against the Orioles or something. It's one thing to own the Orioles, but when you're owning your historical rival, who also happens to be who you're battling for the division with, that's big.
Looking at Trevor Bauer was wearing a Legalize Emotion shirt with over the words over a baseball diamond. So that's a cool shirt, I guess. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to, I mean, we talked about the Giants yesterday and how important these games are coming up. But, you know, when you look at it, these Giants, we kind of dismissed them early on thinking they may fall off, and they may still fall off, but they definitely look a little bit more legit, as obviously with time has made that happen. But also, you know, Posey's been good all year, but Crawford cooled down a little bit. Brandon Belt, who was hot earlier in the years, had his ups and downs, kind of like a normal Brandon Belt year. But a lot of these other guys that they found either off the scrap heap or that have come up or they've gotten in trades or whatever the case may be have done really well. And, you know, even though the Giants have played the Dodgers close when they weren't good and the Dodgers were good, this year seems a little bit different, where they're playing close because both teams are actually good, instead of the Dodgers maybe playing down a little bit to competition.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's kind of interesting that the Dodgers are kind of having to step up and get amped up for these games because they are so meaningful in the division. And, you know, you and I were talking before we hit record, we've downplayed the Giants a little bit. And I think we both still expect the Giants to finish in third place in the division. Definitely not in first place. I think you and I still both believe, and maybe it's homerism, Dodger colored glasses, whatever you want to call it, but I think we both believe the Dodgers are the best team in the division. But it's the end of June. We're just about halfway through the season, and the Giants, you know, if nothing else, they've already banked all these wins. So even if they go back to being, you know, if they play 500 ball the rest of the season, what's that, 93 wins, something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, they've banked these wins. So even if they're not this good, the fact that they've been this good for this long is a big deal towards their playoff hopes. And, you know, obviously we're not here to give the Giants too much credit because, you know, screw those guys. But they're a good baseball team.
Yeah, they are a good baseball team. And we got a question. That just reminds me. We got a question the other day. I forget from who, but was asked if these Giants are the 1988 Dodgers. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to end up winning the World Series, but they are definitely playing over their heads a little bit, and they definitely have guys that are, you know, they're strong pitching. But the difference is that Dodgers team, from what I remember, wasn't that great offensively, where this team is number two offensively right now, and I think number one or two in home runs as well. So they can hit, and they also have the pitching to back it up.
Yeah, it was Gavin DeLujos who asked that on Twitter. And yeah, I mean, the difference is the 88 Dodgers were – the Giants right now still have the best record in baseball. You know, the Dodgers, I don't know that they ever did during the season. The Dodgers were the underdogs in the NLCS and the underdogs in the World Series against the Mets and the A's, you know. And so as of right now, the Giants are too good to be the 88 Dodgers. And I think at the end of the year, they won't pull off the success that the 88 Dodgers had. So I think they're going to go from being too good to be the 88 Dodgers to being not good enough. So the answer to Gavin's question is, on average, yes, but overall, no. All right, let's take a break really quick. When we come back, there's still a lot more to talk about from this game. We're going to talk about Trevor Bauer, his effectiveness or lack thereof at times. We're going to talk about the crowd, going to talk about Will Smith, a lot of other things. So keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you like spending a lot of money or less money? If you said less money, and you ever have to buy auto parts, if you're not going to rockauto.com, you are lying to yourself because you like spending more money. Because if you really did like spending less money, you would go to rockauto.com where you can get the same parts, sometimes even better parts, for less money. Because Rock Auto doesn't have the overhead of the physical buildings, their website, and they don't give special pricing to mechanics. They give special pricing to you, regular Joe guy who listens to Locked On Dodgers, because that's who they care about, people who listen to Locked On Dodgers specifically. So if you ever need to buy auto parts, just go to rockauto.com. Just try it. And I promise you, you will look and say, oh, wow, Jeff wasn't lying to me. This really is less expensive and more convenient. And then you'll buy it, and you can send me a tweet thanking me. And if you do buy something there, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, we're back. Let's keep on going. Will Smith, I guess, you know, Will Smith's contributions to the game were throughout the game, so maybe he throws off our talking about the game in order thing a little bit, but he hit a solo home run that ended up being the deciding run in the game. At the time, it was 2-1. It just gave the Dodgers an insurance run, but it ended up being a much-needed insurance run when Brandon Crawford obliterated a Trevor Bauer pitch later. So Smith's home run was nice to see. And he also saved the game in the eighth inning when Will Smith was pitching. When Blake Treinen was pitching. Treinen had at least two pitches that would have been wild pitches if not for Will Smith's defense. And with Treinen being ineffective, he had a hit and a walk. So he put two runners on with nobody out. Smith's defense ended up saving at least one run because with those wild pitches, the ground out later in the inning is a RBI ground out, and It's a tie game without that defense of Will Smith. And the offense is something we're used to from Smith, but the defense is something that is maybe maligned a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's gotten a bad rap for his framing. And then, as we saw in the postseason, just comfortability with Kershaw and Buehler kind of wanting to throw to Barnes. But, you know, make no mistake, Will Smith is a good defensive catcher. He has the arm, which is it doesn't help this year because the Dodgers pitchers have been allowing such great jumps that, you know, Will Smith's arm can only do so much. But, yeah, I mean, big stops out there with Trinan on the mound. I mean, 98, that went straight to the dirt. You backpicked it. You know, might have been a little bit of luck combined with, you know, he kind of knows Trinan and knows that some balls might get spiked. The other one happened a batter or two later, so... Yeah, Smith, he gets a bad rap, but he's going to be a solid defensive catcher in general, and he's already a pretty solid defensive catcher. And, you know, as we've seen, we saw Kershaw pitch to him the other day. You know, Buehler's been pitching him. So what we kind of wanted to see was him develop that rapport with these pitchers. Barnes has kind of been down to almost a one-time-a-week start game, which is what we kind of talked about before the season when they said that Barnes might catch, it might be not a full split, but split-ish. Will Smith has kind of erased all that, and there's a reason because he is being solid on defense, and then offensively he's one of the best offensive catchers in baseball.
Yeah, raise your hand if you're surprised that Will Smith is starting a lot more games than Austin Barnes. There are no hands raised by any of the hosts of this podcast. Yeah, Smith is, he's very much better offensively, obviously, and I think Barnes still has the edge on framing, but Smith has been pretty good at that too. He's still, you could tell he's still learning. Sometimes he does pull the pitches a little bit too much, but overall, with Smith's offense, if he's even just passable defensively, he's a very valuable catcher. And so to see him actually save a game with his glove was really cool.
Working through some of these guys, you know, the game plan isn't just Will Smith. You know, it's execution on a few sides, coaching side, Will Smith side, and then pitching side. But, you know, it's easy to say that, you know, it doesn't make a big difference. But, you know, with some of these guys, with Victor Gonzalez, you know, he kind of created a jam of his own, trying to create a jam of his own. You know, Will Smith keeps him honest. He keeps him calm, you know, breaks it down. Even Jansen there in the ninth inning when he went 3-0 right away, you know, you can see Smith. And every catcher does this, but it's just a matter of, hey, do you trust the catcher? You know, do you get anything from him, any benefit from him, you know, kind of giving you that little, hey, let's go, or calm down, or whatever the case is. So just seeing him mature as a catcher so far this year has kind of been, you know, one of the biggest things for the Dodgers that maybe not everyone sees, but we're going to see as time goes on, and hopefully, obviously, see in the postseason when we maybe hopefully don't have to see Barnes playing catcher in a postseason game unless Will Smith is DHing.
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the other, I guess, let's move on to Trevor Bauer now. He had not his best start, not his worst start. He only allowed the 2 runs, went 6 innings, not super efficient with his pitches, and had to pitch out of some trouble. The Giants had runners on base, had the leadoff man on in 6 of the 9 innings, including, I think, 4 of the 6 that Bauer pitched. They had multiple guys on in multiple innings. He was pitching around traffic a lot. Luckily, neither of the home runs he allowed came with anybody on base. But I don't know. This is... The Trevor Bauer we've seen his last 4 or 5 starts isn't the guy who won the Cy Young Award last year. Probably isn't even the version of Trevor Bauer we saw earlier this year. And obviously he's the one guy we know for sure is adjusting to a new sticky regimen. And so hopefully, I do think this one was a little bit of a step forward from some of his previous starts recently, and so hopefully that's a sign that he is getting more comfortable with that. But I guess my question for you, Vince, is what do you expect from Bauer the rest of the season? Do you expect what we've seen the last 5 starts, what we saw at the beginning of the season, or somewhere in between?
Not to cop out, but it's probably somewhere in between, you know, because of the sticky stuff that's just kind of, we saw him elevate his game. He had a strong 2018, but really elevated last year was where he dominated and, you know, complete domination, whether you think it's because they were playing all the central teams, whatever the case may be, he was still dominated. It's hard. No one else was dominating in the central like that. So, you know, definitely in the middle because of that. the thing with him, and we've talked about this before, is just the efficiency. He's not efficient. He's at always at 80, 90 pitches around the fifth, sixth inning. He's gone up to 127 one time. He's gone over 100 a bunch of times. And it's as much as he may think that's sustainable and he wants to go every fourth day, I don't know how sustainable that is. He does look at, you know, he does get gassed out there once he goes over 100 pitches. I think Roberts maybe gave him a little leeway early on in the season, and now they're kind of realizing, like, hey, you know, he does tire out a little bit. He's not that efficient, and it might be better off just start off in there. You know, today he probably could have gone started the seventh, and he might have started the seventh if it was a right-handed bat. But with two lefties coming up, they went to Gonzalez, and it worked out, but even though Gonzalez hit the first batter. But yeah, for Bauer, it's just kind of in between. And, you know, his big thing that's been is he hasn't really allowed too many hits. It's mainly been walks and then maybe walks with timely hits and then home runs. And he said after the game that it's definitely bad luck. It's not like he's missing middle with pitches. At some point it will get better, I guess. I don't know. I'm happy they're solos, I guess. And I don't know what he's watching, because some of the home runs he does give up are definitely him missing middle. I don't remember the two last night, but one of them was a hanger, I believe. It might not have been middle, but it was definitely a hanger. And so with him, it's just a combination of a bunch of things. I would hope that he can get more efficient and maybe learn to pitch a little differently with, if it's whether it's sticky stuff or whether it's just, you know, facing different teams or whatever the case is. You can hope that he gets a little more efficient, and maybe he can pitch to contact a little more, and maybe that'll help him get through a little bit more, and maybe that'll, you know, it'll just change his perspective a little bit.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him for sure. He's always been an example of how far can brains take you, because he's very smart. He's very committed to the science of pitching. And so if there is improvement to be made, I would trust him to be the one to make it. If it's improvement that can be made from studying, at some point physically you have to execute, you know? And so if it's a physical reason that he's not executing, like for example, not being able to grip the ball as well, it's tough to tell if he can overcome that with his brains, but it's certainly an interesting thought experiment for sure.
And the good part is his floor of what he's been pitching. I mean, if what we've seen so far is like the floor, he's still a number two, number three starter. I mean, his ERA is still pretty low compared to, you know, it's still pretty low. So it's just a matter of him just being more efficient. It's just, you know, going seven innings instead of struggling through six would be the more ideal situation. And not to say that he can give up more runs that way, but like I said, just, you know, playing a little bit different style, whether if that's because of the sticky stuff or because not, or just figuring out like, hey, you know, maybe I don't need to strike everybody out. I mean, Walker Buehler's kind of gone that way recently and gotten deeper into games by pitching a little bit more to contact, kind of the whole season, but more so the last month or so.
Yeah, and I think if the Dodgers were paying him $6 million this year, we would have nothing but positive to say. I really do think the contract, just like we were talking last week about how Albert Pujols' contract kind of affects our impression of him, because the Dodgers are only paying him the league minimum, we can be happy with the little bit of production we've gotten from him. I think Trevor Bauer suffers from the opposite. I think naturally people are going to be expecting closer to perfection from the guy making $40 million. All right, we'll come back in a minute. We're going to talk about Victor Gonzalez a little bit. We're going to talk about Kenley Jansen. We're going to talk about how nice it is to be on the other side of a team losing because they sucked with runners in scoring position game. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Do you love to order fish when you go out to eat, but you never make it for yourself at home? Cooking restaurant quality dishes at home starts with high quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Seafood. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. And every month, there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Always wild, never farmed or modified, and it contains no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership anytime, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company. And right now, you can save $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. Make sure to use that URL to let them know that we sent you. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Vince, going through the inning, we're to the seventh inning now. When Victor Gonzalez came in to pitch for the Dodgers, the Giants' top of their lineup was stacked with four lefties, two lefties, then Buster Posey, then two more lefties. And that was the part of the order coming up. And so they thought, well, who better than Victor Gonzalez, which is maybe a logical question to ask, but this year, maybe not so much. He has struggled with control a little bit. I talked a little bit about that last week on a solo episode I did, that Victor's command has been off this year. And sure enough, he hit the first batter he faced. He then, what did he do? Who was up next? He got an, oh, he struck out Yastrzemski. And then Posey got a base hit, right? Yeah, so then it was first and second. And so Victor had himself in a little bit of trouble, just like Blake Treinen would the next inning. But he was able to get out of it, got the job done. But it was continuing a trend of ineffectiveness for Victor Gonzalez. Oral Hershiser talked about it on the broadcast that, you know, last year Victor's whip was like 0.73 or something. And this year his walk rate is almost that high, even without the hits. And are you concerned long-term about Victor? Do you think that they have a left-handed reliever problem?
I don't think they have a left-handed reliever problem. I'm not concerned about Gonzalez. You know, we saw him obviously last year was short season, and he was really good, and then was really good in the postseason. And I think, I don't want to say that he kind of needs to feel that, because tonight was kind of like that. But I think it's just one of those where if he needs to bear down and settle down, and when it comes to it, I think he'll be fine. You know, he's thrown a lot more innings than he has before, just could be based on the fact that he had left baseball, then he came back, and then last year was a short season. So I don't think that plays a part of it, because he's kind of had these struggles all season. I think it's just a matter of, you know, him figuring out some things, maybe having to, you know, pitch a little differently, since people do have scouting reports on him now. That's also a part of it, and just figuring it out. Now, whether they need another lefty beyond him, you know, Garrett Clevenger has good stuff, but I don't know if he's ready for that spot. Scott Alexander, who's on rehab right now, was, you know, he has stuff, strong stuff too, but we've just seen him not be able to put it all together. He did have a decent start to the year, and then ended up getting hurt, and who knows what it'll be when he comes back. So if they are looking for a specific reliever, I think they're looking for a really good reliever regardless of how he throws. But if there happens to be a left-handed reliever on the market in the next month, that might be one they go after.
Yeah, and I do think the left-handed reliever has maybe been devalued a little bit with the three-batter minimum, because it's not very often that teams do stack their lineups as much as the Giants did on Monday. I think most of the time there's a little bit more balance. You're not going to have very many times when you have four out of five guys are left-handed. And you know, we've seen with Blake Treinen, the Dodgers don't worry about handedness when they're bringing in Blake Treinen. They don't worry about handedness when they're bringing in Kenley Jansen or Jimmy Nelson. And so, you know, and they've got David Price, who's not, he's a reliever who throws left-handed, but he's not a left-handed reliever. You know, I guess the only other guy you didn't mention is Alex Vesia, who has shown some promise at times, but definitely isn't ready for that spot. So, yeah, I think I agree with you that if they do look for bullpen help, which seems likely or at least possible, I think they probably will look more for guys who can get outs than guys who throw with a specific hand, because they have plenty of guys who throw with that hand. It's just a matter of getting the guys out who they need to, and overall you're better off getting somebody who can get both guys.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that's kind of helped that helped the transition here is Kenley Jansen. I mean, we've talked about him a lot, and while it's not 100% trust level there, it's getting higher and higher every time he goes out there. He's being more consistent. He's cut the walks down a little bit. You know, he obviously went down 3-0 last night and ended up giving up a single that ended up working out for the Dodgers because of all the things that happened with Bellinger and then threw him out and then the close play. But regardless of that, you know, the Dodgers don't have to focus, you know, with Chinen and Jansen right now, the focus is more on, you know, there's a premium price for a closer compared to a late inning guy. And that might be the difference between, you know, whatever prospects they're going to end up sending. So that's a good sign. But yeah, I mean, Jansen, the big at bat that everyone's talking about, and obviously we're going to talk about is that bat against Buster Posey, throwing three straight sliders, and Posey had no idea what was going on and just went down and kind of had a semi-sword when he struck out. And, you know, I tweeted out that he didn't have that and that Posey was probably thinking that Jansen didn't have that 2019, the last time he faced him on a consistent basis because he didn't play last season. And, you know, Jansen did have the slider back then, but he wasn't using it like he was now. And it's just an added wrinkle to, I mean, he mentioned after the game, he's faced Posey plenty of times and, you know, just have to find different ways of getting guys out. So that was fun to see. And then Jansen, like I said, he's just looking more consistent right now, and it's a good sign all around.
Yeah, it was a little bit scary to start when he went 3-0 on Tauchman. You know, Mike Yastrzemski had to come out of the game because when he did strike out against Victor Gonzalez, he fouled the ball off his knee, came out of the game, Brandon Tauchman, and, you know, looked like Kenley was going to walk Tauchman. And I actually had a tweet ready to go that said it kind of defeats the purpose of replacing a good hitter with a bad hitter if you walk the bad hitter to lead off the inning. He didn't walk him. He gave up a base hit to center, which, again, was because he had gone 3-0 on him, had to get more of the plate than he would have liked, and so had to throw a pitch even Mike Tauchman could hit, as the kids say. But, you know, then Bellinger deked him, you know, misplayed the ball on purpose, of course, so that he could throw him out at second, blah, 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 blah. But, yeah, getting to that Buster Posey at bat, it was really funny to hear Kenley after the game. He didn't quite come out and say this, but basically what he was saying was, I really like challenging hitters, but it's also fun to not challenge them sometimes. You know, he didn't want to give Posey something to hit because the 2021 version of Buster Posey is a really, really good hitter. And so instead, he just made him look foolish and kind of made Angel Hernandez look foolish, which happened several times during the game because Posey clearly swung at the last pitch. Posey was walking to the dugout, and Hernandez had to appeal to first base to know that he had swung. Would have been funny if the first base ump had missed it too, and Posey would have had to walk back to the batter's box after already heading to the dugout. But luckily, he was paying attention. But yeah, I mean, for Kenley, between adding the two-seamer and you increasing usage of that slider, it was just 3 or 4 years ago that I remember I was watching a Dodgers-Rockies game, or I was listening to it in the car, and it was in Colorado, and so I had the Rock, Sirius XM had the, oh, they usually only have the home feed, so I was hearing the Rockies radio announcers, and the Dodgers catcher, there was a guy on second, and the catcher came out to discuss signs, and the announcer were joking, like, what do they need to discuss? It's a cutter. You know, and even back then, that wasn't true anymore. You could tell that meant the Rockies announcers hadn't been keeping up because even at that point, he was throwing like 12% sliders. And I think if I remember right, I'd have to find my tweet about it, but I think the pitch after the announcers said that, Kenley struck out the dude with a slider, so it made me laugh. But for Kenley to have that third pitch, so he really is a complete pitcher now. He got, you know, halfway to a Hall of Fame career as a one pitch pitcher. And he wasn't going to get all the way to a Hall of Fame career with one pitch. He's probably not going to get all the way to a Hall of Fame career even with three pitches, but he can definitely still be effective and really, really good because he has three pitches that he can throw at any time. And he is really hard to hit when he's commanding those pitches.
And I think the other big part is just he's humbled. I don't want to say he's humbled himself, but he's realized that, obviously, one, he can't just throw the cutter all the time because it's not always going to work out. Two, you know, to Posey, challenging him is what it's in the nature for ball players and pitchers, you know, to challenge guys. But to know that, hey, you know what, I don't need to be the machismo right now. I can, you know, throw him three straight sliders and get the same result as if what I think challenging him would represent. So I think it's just a matter of mentality change. You know, he hasn't blown a game off, so we haven't had to have a post game of him blowing a game. But, he's had different parts of this season where he's talked about it and he's had a little bit different mentality. So I think it's just the overall growth of Kenley Jansen has been pretty great, not just as a pitcher, but, you know, mentally as well.
Yeah, I was talking about that when I did a Spotify green room after the game on Friday. It's as of yet unpublished. I did record it, so maybe we'll publish some parts of it. But I was just talking with a couple Dodger fans in there, and we were talking about that from Kenley, the humility, the willingness, even just admitting out loud to the media that he's working on things. That's something we wouldn't have seen from Kenley in the past. He was so dead set on being, you know, impervious and, you know, and we were, one thing we were talking about in the green room was between him and Kershaw, wonder how much of it has to do with the fact that they've won a World Series now, that, you know, that monkey is off their back. And so you can, and also, you know, that Kenley wants to, when they win the 2021 World Series, Kenley wants to be the one on the mound when that happens. And, you know, I think maybe recognizes that the way to do that is he needs to evolve a little bit.
It's probably a matter of a few things, you know, getting older. You know, Kershaw had already kind of changed a little bit, was in the process of changing a little bit before winning it all. Winning it all, he just feels more loose now. Whereas Jansen was still kind of the stick in the mud, and then maybe hopefully last year realizing, you know, you can't go through and always blame luck or whatever the case, you know, or whatever the case may be, bad luck on your end, whatever it was. The fact of the matter was, you know, you weren't getting the job done, and Julio had to finish out two of the biggest games in the postseason when you were technically available. So, yeah, it's partially part of that, partially winning, and then partially just, hey, realizing he's in a contract year. So,
But after going 3-0 on Talkman, what we saw from Kenley on Monday night was awesome. So if he can keep that level of command and dominance, good things are in store for him. The crowd was really into this game. Don't need to spend too much time on that, but, you know, the crowd showed up for Dodgers Giants. They're going to show up probably even more tonight because it's Max Muncy bobblehead. Bueller against Gausman should be awesome. And, you know, my big takeaway from this game, Vince, was for all the times that the Dodgers have had games where they just could not get that hit with runners in scoring position, it was really nice to be on the other side of it. The Giants went 0-13 with runners in scoring position. Would have been even worse, except Talkman got thrown out at second. If he had been safe at second, they would have been 0-16 with runners in scoring position, because Kenley would have still shut things down. So, it was nice to be on this side of it.
Definitely nice to be on this side of it. You know, a one-run win, I think Hairston brought it up after the game. I don't think we've kept track of run-run wins, or maybe you have, but they won another one, and I know they won one last week, so that's at least two more than they had
before. I think they're 11-14 now.
Yeah, so we're almost back at 500, so we're chugging along, and just hopefully they can, you know, it would suck to win the game yesterday and then lose the game tonight. So hopefully they can just win the game tonight, get to a game and a half, and then hit that East Coast road trip, feeling good.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up for today. You have anything else?
One thing, I hadn't really paid attention to the schedule. The Dodgers play at 8 a.m. on Sunday, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until I was listening to this past Sunday's game on the radio, and Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner were talking about how they're going to have to set an alarm to do the game, which they don't normally have to do. So that should be fun. 4th of July game in Washington, D.C. at 11 o'clock local time, which is 8 a.m. L.A. time. So, well, thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. We're back up to second place among all the Locked On MLB podcasts this last week. Let's get that back to first place. If you don't mind helping us, you know, listen every day, tell your friends and family who are Dodger fans. We would love that. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. The DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Los Angeles Clippers are back in the game. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye.